This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. And, of course, you know from Rose Rotation and all kinds of other great things. Hi, Chris. How are you? What's going on, man?
Christopher.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Feel it? Can you feel it? It's baseball eve, man. The excitement.
Yes, it is. Let's go. Ready. We are ready.
How you feel about your Guardians?
I feel okay about them. Very tough division. I think it's probably, to be honest with you, I think it's the toughest one to pick. Because I think you could make an argument for four teams, and I don't think you can do that elsewhere. So it's going to be a challenge, revamping the right side of the infield on the fly. We know what Carlos Santana is, even though he's just about to turn 39. He's still a good baseball player. But you're getting rid of two guys who were, key components of a club. And second base is a huge question mark. And even after the Nolan Jones trade, right field's a big question mark. So and our rotation is a big question mark. So there's a lot going on here. I didn't expect us to win 90-plus games a year ago and win the division and make the ALCS. So I think hopefully we'll be pleasantly surprised again.
Chris, I thought the Nolan Jones trade was interesting. I saw your assessment of the trade on social media. I wonder this. You traded something that your organization doesn't produce a lot of for a middle infielder when you had a glut of middle infielders, and then You turn around and get them back by trading from your glut of middle infielders. And I wonder, what inspired them to do that at this time based on the fact that they gave up on him 2 years ago?
Because this is how the Guardians do things. They're not going to be paying top dollar for a guy who could be an outfield lottery ticket, right? If he turns into what he was in 2023, then that's a huge upgrade in right field. I think we all like Will Brennan a lot. I love him personally. John Kenzie Noel is an intriguing figure out there, but that is not a highly productive spot for us. And so the Guardians take a guy in Tyler Freeman, who I think it's wonderful to have guys that are utility players that you can plug them in at multiple positions and feel good about doing that. I don't know if we have a guy on the roster like that right now, like Daniel Schneeman. He's shaky at several positions. You put him in the outfield, he doesn't look like an outfielder. You put him in the infield, he doesn't look like a great infielder. Like Freeman was solid. So in that standpoint, he did a really, really good job.
He was good in center too, wasn't he? Yeah, I thought Tyler did a nice job in center.
Yeah, I mean, his routes to the ball, it was like when the GPS gives you a new route, would you like to save 4 minutes? So it was a little bit all over the place. but the completion of the play is what matters.
Yeah.
And so he did that. And I thought for a guy who never played that position in Little League, travel ball, high school, or the minor leagues, and had to literally learn on the fly at the major league level was awesome. I thought it was great. But this is what we do. You know, we take flyers on guys like Nolan Jones and hope that it turns into something. Hope that you get the production of a $15 million ball player for significantly less.
Chris, let's talk about your guy, Stephen Vogt, for a second. I'm curious, what do you think he learned in that first year, and how will he be a better manager in his sophomore season?
Yeah, hopefully he learned not to pitch to Stanton in the ALCS. So I'll take that.
Wow.
And I'll sign up for it right now if that's the situation we're facing. You know, I think he probably just learned, my guess is, how to lead a little bit better and not worry about what other people think. I think that's probably the hardest part of the job. You know, because he's so close to having been a player,
mm-hmm.
It was just a couple seasons ago where he was still in that batter's box. And players know when managers mean business. They also know when they're full of BS. They know when they're, you know, when they don't care in some cases. And that's not the case with Stephen Vogt. He cares. I think he's got a really, really good connection with guys. And I thought for a first-year manager that he wasn't really searching for an identity. But I imagine it's probably just solidifying what he believes in, and that there were probably times where maybe he asked for a little too much help from guys. I'm guessing here. I don't know this for a fact. So I'm just throwing it out there. And that's a tendency that young guys have when they have such respect for other people on their staff. And while it is a collaborative effort, you're the last line of defense. Make your call. When he went out there last year, and we all remember it well, the Tanner Bibee game where he went out there, I think it was against the Twins, you know, that was his call. So eventually, and I hope we see more of that this year.
Chris Rose joining us. The one thing that I was fascinated, and Stephen, of course, a former catcher, at the way he used his bullpen last year, and maybe, Chris, how often he used the same guys in the bullpen. I mean, he had a lot of guys with big numbers and appearances. Was that okay? I know it worked beautifully. Is that okay moving in this year?
Well, sure, it's okay as long as their arms don't fall off.
Well, now there's that, isn't there?
Right, and yeah. We talked about this recently on this show, was that, because he asked me how big a concern the starting rotation was. You know, the rotation, it's more than just, well, those guys get knocked around. When those guys get knocked around, that means other people have to pick up innings. And there's – you can't have a ton of innings on these guys' arms. And that's the key. I don't think it's so much the appearances, but the number of high-stress innings that guys end up throwing, because at some point that does catch up with you. It just does. And so I hope that – you know, I would love to see a little more length out of our rotation – and not be so dependent. You know, everybody talks about it. Well, when you get to Cleveland's sixth inning, the game's over. That's awesome in October. You know, like, you can't be using that card in May and feeling good about it, because those guys will blow out eventually.
All right, let's talk football, my friend. Where do you think the Browns stand now with quarterback, and where do you think that? What do you think the quarterback room is going to look like when they go to open camp? I'll even give you open camp. So where do you think they're sitting, and what would you like to see them do?
I've told you this. I still think that Kirk Cousins is in play.
Okay.
You know, Atlanta, just they don't have a lot of picks. I think they've got three in the first six rounds, something like that, I want to say. Is that possible?
Well, let me backtrack on Kirk Cousins there for a second. If the Browns, uh-huh. Is it dependent on what the Browns do at two for Kirk Cousins? Because he is holding some cards on the no trade. If the Browns go Abdul Carter at two, then yeah, I think that it's it's possible. But if they go Shedeur Sanders at two, I could easily see him say, I've already seen this game before.
Right, and that's very possible. But I also don't think he wants to be there, period. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're saying, they have come out and said, Michael Penix is our starter, which is different than, well, this rookie might have a chance to play at some point this year. He might not like it if he gets pulled 8 games in. But, you know, he sees it. He's doing the math. How many places right now does he legitimately have a chance to start right now? How many?
Valid. Not many.
Not many. Mm-hmm. They already got two veterans up there in New York. Minnesota, maybe that happens, but I don't
know. Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that think that Aaron Rodgers on McAfee's show that he's doing in Pittsburgh, that he's going to walk out on stage and announce he's signed with the Steelers. Like, that would be perfect Aaron Rodgers if he did that.
And so not Mike Tomlin. So not Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, but, you know, that doesn't matter. So where else can he play? I mean, how many other places have openings? There are just not that many. But getting back to at two, you know, we need a quarterback on a friendly contract. We just do. So whether you do that at 33 and you're going to take a huge swing for a guy that, who knows, could be Will Levis in 2 years. He was taken with the first pick of the second round. Or could turn into a legit 10-year starter. Who knows? Listen, I've gotten it in my brain. This is the way I'm wrapping it up. Shedeur is not perfect. There are some issues, I think, that will become more compounded at this level, right? He's not a great athlete. He doesn't have an amazing arm. But he does do some things exceptionally well, that particularly when you pair him with the right offense and, more importantly, the right play caller and coach, that you can do more than get by with him, that you could win a bunch of games with him. It kind of gets us back to where we were with Baker Mayfield. Different quarterbacks, I always felt like you could win games with him. Could you win a Super Bowl with him? That's another question. Mm-hmm. But we're back to the can we win enough games with a guy stage. And I didn't think we were going to be there, but that's where we are. And I do think we could win games with Shedeur Sanders.
The trouble with Cousins is you mentioned, if the Browns do something and he doesn't like it, you know, he can use his no trade clause. It, with that thought in mind, do the Browns need to bring in one of these remaining free agents, or could you go into the season with, or into the off season, I guess, in the, you know, like mandatory camps and everything else, with Kenny Pickett and whoever you draft and whatever else you put in that quarterback room?
Well, I mean, Kenny Pickett, we all have bad thoughts about him from this standpoint. Like, we saw him, what he did in Pittsburgh, and don't give me the whole, well, he's got a winning record thing. He was on a really good franchise, right? But I do think that Kenny Pickett is a viable backup quarterback. The Eagles thought that he was,
mm-hmm.
right? He was good enough to be the backup quarterback.
On a Super Bowl contender. Yeah.
On a Super Bowl winner.
Yep.
So, like, I'm fine with him being the number two. And then if we're really sitting here discussing the number three quarterback, let's focus on number one. Like, whoever number three is number three. There's a bunch of guys that rotate from team to team, and sometimes they get a shot at eventually growing into the second-string quarterback. Like, Tanner McKee, the guy that was the third-string quarterback for Philly, I think he's going to be their backup this year. I don't think it's DTR. I think he's their backup. But the fans in Philly aren't sitting there saying, well, who's the third quarterback? You know, like, that's not where they are in their process. We shouldn't be there in that either.
All right, Chris, last question for me, because I'm a big gift giver. I like to give away, you know, the holidays are coming up, Passover and Easter. This is, you know, everyone exchanges gifts like that. And I'm looking online for a nice gift, and I'm looking at the Chris Rose Rotation T-shirts that are available. What is the number one seller on this JohnBoyMedia.com site? You have so many. I particularly like the Chris Rose Football Show, the head-to-head T-shirt. I'm just curious. You tell me, what is the number one seller of Chris Rose T-shirts right now?
Well, that's a wonderful question. I don't know, but it is shop.johnboymedia.com.
Yes.
And actually, the Chris Rose Rotation t-shirt is a collector's item now.
Oh, it
because,
is?
Yeah, the show has been rebranded. It is called Dugout Discussions with Chris Rose.
Oh.
We're actually taking it to the field. So we're not doing Zoom interviews anymore. The interviews themselves are shorter, so they're like 10 to 12 minutes. Our first episode just dropped with Bobby Witt Jr. We've got Mike Trout coming out next week. We've got Tarek Skubal of the Tigers, the Cy Young Award winner, right after that. And so whenever teams come out to Dodger Stadium or Angel Stadium, I'm going to interview Star. But also we have these cute little segments where my wife is involved. It's called Questions with the Queen.
I have seen
it. You got to go check it out.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're fun little questions. Like one of them that just happened was, what was your first job? And we got some amazing answers on guys' first jobs. And we just kind of splice them together. We talked to like seven or eight guys from every team. The Guardians are prominently featured in the first episode. Bieber's in it. McKenzie's in it. Kwan is in it. Stephen Vogt is in it. So there's a ton of guys. And they'll be appearing throughout the year as I ask them different questions. So it's kind of fun. It gets a lot of teams involved. And it's a quicker pace show. So go give it a look on our JM Baseball YouTube page. Or you can just follow us at me at Chris Rose. I always retweet all our stuff.
Chris, I have 10 seconds. What was your first job in Northeast Ohio?
I was a ball boy for the Cleveland Browns.
That was your first job? Good for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a hell of a first job.
Man.
I'd imagine.
Good job, Chris.
Yep.
We're proud of you.
Thanks.
Look how far you've come. Our little Chris has come so far. All right, Chris.
Hey, man. Our OC was a ball boy for the Browns. Tommy Reese.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When Dad was working for the team.
Look at that.
There you go.
What a small world. Chris, all right, we're all over it. Thank you. We always appreciate your time.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, boys. Take care.
Peace. Joe Posnanski joined us from Joe Blogs. That was at noon. And then we just had Chris Rose on from the Rose Rotation. Where else? He's at MLB, or he's at NFL Network. He's all over the place. He's got all kinds of stuff going on.
That's him.
And Rose Rotation is now Dugout Talk or something like that is what he said.
Dugout Discussions
Dugout
with Chris Rose.
Discussions. And his wife is in there, too.
Questions with the Queen.
Yes. Have you seen? I think I saw a clip of one on Instagram with his wife.
Nice.
She's got a lot more talent than he does. I would say that to his face. I'll be honest with you.
Sweet of you.
Let me go back to something we did in the beginning of the show. Remember how we were going through the Browns? And as we were doing this, I started thinking about the Guardians. So for the beginning, we said, give us one word to describe the Browns' offseason.
That was a great idea.
It was. So let's milk this thing for all it's worth. Give me one word to describe the Guardians' offseason.
Oh, golly. Now I got to think again?
Yeah, I'm making you think. Dan, you can think too.
You shouldn't read the stage directions.
Why? Who cares? This is who we are. We're not ashamed of what we do on this show.
I've got a word.
Well, let's get all we can out of this, because I think it's interesting. I kind of like this word association game. One word to describe the Guardians' offseason.
Takes you right back to therapy, doesn't it?
Oh,
which
it
can be
does.
Very good for you.
Of course.
There it is.
We all could use a little therapy.
All right, I'll give you a word.
You got a word? All right, Jeff, give me a word for the Guardians offseason, which ends tomorrow.
This does not reflect my thoughts on the upcoming season.
Oh, a disclaimer.
Yeah, because it's, you asked, describe their offseason. Did
you
not?
Yes, the offseason.
Uninspiring.
Oh, man. What a day we've had. We talked about the Browns, and one of the big words was boring. And now for the Guardians, the word is that wasn't Jeff's word for the Browns either. He said curious for the
curious
Browns.
Curious was what I said for the Browns.
For the Guardians, you are now saying
their offseason was uninspiring.
Uninspiring. Do you concur? 216-474-0092. I don't know. Do you want to expound on that, or do you want me to give you my word?
I'll expound on it if you want.
Go ahead. I want you to expound.
What got you fired up about their offseason?
Maybe what just happened? Nolan Jones? And that's not even fired up.
That's my guy.
Yeah, I know.
That doesn't get me that fired up. Their offseason was uninspiring. That does not mean they can't have a wildly successful season. And I sincerely mean that. You know, I have, Andy, I don't think I've made any bones about it since we've started this show. I have such respect for the front office of the Guardians, for the ownership of the Guardians, who do a really nice job of putting a competitive product on the field most each and every year. And as a guy who grew up never, ever, ever having a baseball team that made it to the playoffs and was rarely competitive, man, do I appreciate that. So I think they have a chance to do some good things this year, but I think the offseason was uninspiring.
The word that I wrote down at 10:20 when we originally came up with this idea for both teams, just to let you in, this was not a surprise. I know the boss is listening. Float was the word that I wrote down. Float.
I think is how you would describe their offseason?
Yeah, they float or floated.
Floated, just floated right through it?
They floated right through the offseason. I mean, there aren't many moves that were made. You locked up your number one pitcher, which I thought was good. I wasn't really that bummed out that they
that
brought...
That was a good move.
Yeah, I didn't think bringing Carlos Santana in was a horrible idea. I don't know if it's the greatest idea, but I don't think it's a bad idea. You know, you had to reconstruct your entire, right side of the infield. I don't feel like they made, the hard decision at second base, but maybe they made the right decision at second base. We'll know within a few weeks. I don't feel like they got... They didn't get much stronger, but yet, you know, so that's a float. You know, just kind of, they're near the surface, okay. But they didn't sink.
So in other words, our two words are in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, they are. Dan Menigan, what is your word for the Guardians?
Puzzling.
Puzzling?
Puzzling.
What did you, but the other part of it, too, is I'm not expecting.
Maybe you should.
Well, I wasn't expecting.
That'll be Dan's point.
I'm also not expecting big financial moves for an organization that's on the hinge of having an ownership change in, you know, 2 years here, two and a half years. I'm not. I'm just not expecting gigantic financial moves out of this organization when they're teetering on the edge of a ownership change. So go ahead. What do you think?
Puzzling.
Puzzling.
I'm sorry. You made it to the ALCS last year, and your big move was Carlos Santana and toss a coin in the air hoping that a couple pitchers pop. I'm sorry, that's puzzling. That puzzles the hell out of me that you didn't use this as an opportunity to go out and get a power hitting outfielder or get somebody to fill the second
maybe,
base void.
Maybe you just did, though.
Or okay.
Nolan's back, baby.
A more established power hitting outfielder.
Valid point
all
there.
Right.
Valid point
or
there.
Or if you wanted to move on from Josh Naylor, another first baseman who could come in and make that kind of an impact instead of Carlos Santana. It was a puzzling offseason. It was an offseason of a team that squeaked in the wild card and not the offseason of a team that was in the ALCS last year.
Okay.
Well, what do you think of those three words then? Are those the words that describe
all,
this?
I think they're all in the same vein.
Yeah, I do too. No one's jumping through the roof here.
Uninspiring, puzzling.
Float. Floating.
Float.
Ing. I guess you have to ing all of these things, too. Gary in Cleveland. He has a word for the Guardians. Please keep it clean. Hi, Gary. How are you?
What's up, G?
Hey, guys. How about crappy? Because if you go out to Arizona and try to go to practice, you can't get in, but you can walk across the parking lot and see the Reds.
What do you mean you can't get in?
They have it shut down. Unless if you know somebody in the organization, you can't get in to watch it.
They don't still have that area off on the side where you can walk in and try to get out. It's on the.
Nope.
They close that down.
You got to go through a gate. You got to tell them your name, and they got to check your name off, and you get a wristband to walk in.
I'm sorry. Did you actually plan your entire trip to go out there and see them, and that was one of the reasons why? And then you got there and you were like, couldn't do anything.
No, I was out there because I know somebody. I had a friend with me that couldn't get in because.
He didn't know the same somebody.
Right.
All right, Garrett. Well, I'm sorry. I feel bad for you on that one.
Well,
I just
think it's pretty crappy. They've had it shut down since COVID. They haven't opened it back up to the public. But they want you to spend your money and go to the game, you know.
we'll see what it is. All right, Gary, thank you. I don't know. We can go old school and talk about how great Winter Haven was again. We're not going to do that, right? We're not going down that road.
Winter Haven was great as long as you liked 1957.
Yeah, but the access was unbelievable.
It was phenomenal.
For the players. It was
phenomenal.
You were like right there. It was like the players were your family. You were so close to all that stuff.
I've always felt that way anyway, Andy.
Well, that's because I don't know why. That's why.
Allow these people into my home 162 times a year.
They're like, I mean, they came to birthday parties. They were on right there on the wall.
Graduations.
There goes Junior across the stage. Oh, Travis just hit one out.
May have been me at my graduation, but that's beside the point.
Could have been.
Which Travis?
Dan and I have done this several times today, talking funny like this. I don't think it works, but what the hey?
Fryman? Which Travis? Hafner? Uncle Travis? Which Travis are you talking about?
I don't know, Andy.
Did he dress up like a clown to come and make the kids happy? Wow. I'm just saying. Brian Anderson had to run over to one of the marts to go pick up a glove.
That's great.
Because he left his glove back in Winter Haven. Because he didn't have enough.
It's problematic.
All those stories just don't exist anymore, do they, Jeff?
I guess not, Andy.
I'm sorry.
No.
Took away your spring training moment. I feel bad for you.
They did.
Is there any level of excitement to this? I got to tell you, I'm not happy with Major League Baseball for starting the season in Japan. I think I've made that pretty clear.
Really?
Shut up.
Come on,
I'm just telling you.
Get out of Dodge.
I think they stole our thunder about, you know, the hype and grandioso feeling we could have about opening day that should start with a parade in Cincinnati.
Should be
and
in Cincinnati because guys with mustaches played in pinstripes with flat hats on.
And they liked it. And guess what? They used a little mustache wax to doctor up the ball, so it was hard to hit. But that's okay, Jeff.
Could have been the fact they were swinging.
Forget about tradition.
Swinging actual 2x4s as well.
You know, just because you don't care about tradition the way everyone else does.
Oh, no, yeah, it's... One thing I don't do is, you know, tradition.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. We are a tradition unlike none other. I will tell you that. 216-474-0092.